online at RileyBuilds.com.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Thanks again to Karen Hibbard, Manhattan Convention and Visitors Bureau Director, for joining us. She's usually with us on the first Friday, but had to move some things around. She had a busy Friday coming up, which, as you could probably imagine hearing her list off all the things that's going on at CVB, always busy. And speaking of always busy, Dr. Marty Bonier, you're on the phone working out there while you're waiting to come on.
I was. It's kind of scary that I've got three phones and three emails and three computers, and trying to stay on top of everything sometimes becomes a challenge.
Well, whatever you're doing is working, because I drive by the MBAT facility and it's taking shape. It's looking great.
Yes, it looks great. It's a thing of beauty.
It is. We're getting glass. Like, I assume everything's on schedule.
Mm-hmm. Everything's on schedule. Since everything's enclosed now, the weather that we've had over the last few days hasn't really had a huge impact. So things are coming together. Equipment is starting to arrive on big trucks and be installed. So it's very exciting.
We're getting there. I'm trying to remember what the completion date's supposed to be. Was it 2020 or 2021, something like that?
Construction will finish the end of 2020. We still then have some systems tests and just making sure that everything works properly. That'll go through 21. And then at that point, we'll start ramping up some operations and finishing up all the permitting that we have to be able to do research in the building. So that'll take until, it'll probably be 22 or 23 before everything is moved from Plum Island and we really light it up and start doing work.
Yeah, you mentioned some of that paperwork stuff. It'll be one thing just to get everything installed and done, but then you mentioned all the permits and
yes.
And the government papers, everything you got to do on that front. Here with MBAT Director of Partnership Development, Dr. Marty Bonier. Do want to remind folks, phone lines are open if you have any questions about MBAT, 785-537-1350. And really, Dr. Bonier, I guess, what's the latest developments? What's new besides we're seeing the building take shape, but what's kind of in the near future as far as developments?
Well, we are still just putting all kinds of equipment in the building. The USDA folks are starting to hire some of the staff that they need on site right away. So there will be some of those announcements. And when those are finalized, then we can let you know who all of those folks are. A couple of things that have happened just recently were 3 days that I spent in Kansas City with a few of the USDA folks that were meetings involving the animal health corridor. And that's really important, because with the corridor being literally the global center of animal health sales, you've got pretty much anybody who's anybody in that geographic footprint around Kansas City between Columbia, Missouri, and Manhattan. And NBAF looks at that as an incredibly valuable resource, because as the science goes on in the building, you're going to want to take some of those scientific discoveries and develop them and potentially commercialize them, get them out in the world so they can be used. And one of the best ways to do that is that we now have a ready source of partners and collaborators in the corridor. So my objective was to get folks from both USDA, ARS, and APHIS to the meetings in Kansas City to begin to meet people and to begin to make those connections, because in, 5 or 6 years, they're going to need those connections. So that was a very exciting time. We also, in the last couple of weeks, had our DHS Science and Technology Undersecretary come visit to see the site. He is new in the position and is had his confirmation hearing. We're still waiting on the Senate vote for confirmation, but he's had his hearing, and this was an opportunity to get him out to see the site and see what we're doing and give him a really deep dive into the mission of MBAF and just show him what a valuable asset this is going to be.
And just to remind folks, if you're a new listener, especially new students in the town and just maybe some new folks in town this time of year anyway, we're talking about MBATH. It's the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. It'll be America's foremost animal disease research facility. It's being constructed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. A $1.25 billion facility. It's going to be a biosafety level 4 laboratory, and it's replacing the Plum Island Animal Disease Center in New York, and again, expect to be operational around 2022-2023. And just kind of to remind folks, just kind of the impact this has, this was such a big deal when it was first announced that out of anywhere, not only in the nation, but maybe in the world, because we have places all over the world with a United States flag on it somewhere, and for it to come to Manhattan, I mean, that was such big news. I remember when that happened.
It was huge, and there was an incredible team of people who worked for a long time on the proposal. The selection process was a very lengthy process and a very detailed process, and to winnow it down from about 38 original proposals for sites down to the final five, in which Kansas actually had two sites in the final run up to the selection, Manhattan, and then there was another site in Leavenworth. And basically, when it came time for the final selection, word came down from DHS. They said, "You guys have to choose. Are you going to propose Leavenworth or are you going to propose Manhattan? You can't propose both." So the decision was made to propose Manhattan. And yes, we were, when you look at the selection criteria and you look at the scoring that was done, we were far and away the winner.
And you've been a part of this from the beginning, correct?
Yes.
And it's been just quite a process. I mean, how many years have you been a part of MBATH's development?
Well, I actually started with the BRI before it was even built, and it's now 10 years old. MBATH came on kind of right after that. So it was, I'm trying to think, the selections, I think, were done in like 2006. So it's now been at least 12 years on that project. So, yeah.
Time flies.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Time flies. But I imagine it's been really satisfying for you seeing this come up, especially now as the building's really starting to take shape. And I think for a lot of people around here, Dave and I were kind of talking about it during the morning show just a little bit, that the reality of it, it seems like it's really kind of sinking through. Because I remember there was, you know, all the debate about, you know, when are we getting the money in? How's that working out? Because that was kind of complicated there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And to really kind of see it take shape, it really is kind of hitting, like, you know, this is happening.
Oh, it's real. Yes, it's real. And it's real now that the USDA folks are starting to bring people in and are starting to assign people to, for instance, we just got word of who from their legal office is going to be focused on legal issues. And by legal issues, it's things like being able to do contracts with collaborators. It's because of the transition from DHS to USDA, there are contracts that DHS has that need to be shifted over to USDA. And so that's a lot of sort of inside the government legal stuff that has to go on, and you have to have people who really know what they're doing and can really pay attention to it. So now all of those people are being identified, and people who are coming out on site to help with the transition, people who are coming out to help with the recommissioning of the utility plant, people who are coming out to help commission the laboratory when we get to that step. So those people are now starting to show up. They have to be here on site. It's not something that you can do long distance.
Again, here with MBATH Director of Partnership Development, Dr. Marty Vanier. Again, remind you, phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And I think you told us either last month or the month before that we were starting to see permanent employees arrive mm-hmm, on site. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess if you can just remind us kind of what that number is.
Well, eventually it will be in the 350 range when the lab is fully operational and fully running. Clearly not all 350 people are showing up at once, but what we're seeing now are the first wave of people who need to be here as we're transitioning from pure construction into now more operations and running machinery. You know, when we start turning on the air handlers, you know, there've got to be people there who know how to run the air handlers. So those are the folks who are starting to come in now. And it's a handful, relatively speaking. It's just a handful now, but it'll start to ramp up over the next couple of years.
As far as hitting that 300?
As far as hitting the 300, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty exciting. Pretty yep. exciting that we're really just 24 months away from that sort of thing to start happening. And then we'll, and these are, I do want to remind folks as well, that the type of jobs that are going to be offered here, that I don't know what there's numbers as far as like the average income that's anticipated with these 300 or what those ranges could be.
Well, somebody's got those numbers somewhere, because we've talked about that quite a lot in trying to understand the economic impact. And not that we're doing economic issues, but we get asked the question a lot. And so some folks have started to look at that. My understanding is that of the 350 people, probably 100-ish will be actual scientists, principal investigators. We're also going to have clearly a group of folks who are laboratory technicians or know how to run some of the testing equipment. So if you've heard of things like, you know, PCR machines, thermocyclers. I mean, I know this doesn't mean anything really to folks out in the audience, but these are pieces of equipment that are used in the laboratory and are used as part of the research. You have to have technicians who understand how to prepare those samples and put them in that equipment and know how to understand the result that comes out the other side. So those are going to be laboratory technicians. We're going to have to clearly have an animal care staff, because we'll have live animals in the building. So we have to have live animal care staff. We still have to have plumbers and electricians, people who know how to run boilers and chillers, you know, a lot of like mechanical staff. There's clearly going to be an office staff, because the scientists will have offices. So there will be an office staff. So there's going to be an entire range. We now kind of refer to the building as a big machine. And so you think about what it's going to take to run that big machine and everything that happens inside that machine. It kind of becomes its own society in there. So we're going to have a little bit of everything.
And probably kind of going back to these jobs, I imagine they'll be pretty well-paying jobs, I assume.
Yes, they should be pretty well-paying jobs. Once again, remember that the staff will be federal employees. So there are adjustments for where you are in the country. For instance, this is a lower-cost area than, for instance, East or West Coast. But that being said, you know, these are jobs that are pretty stable, pretty secure, good benefits. So yes, these are the kinds of jobs you want to have.
And definitely that can add to a community, add to a local economy.
Absolutely.
For sure. And you mentioned some of the things you do with the machines. I was just thinking about like how complicated, like the skill you need for some of that stuff. It's like, I can edit some audio clips, but I don't know how well that would transfer in, you know, animal disease control. I don't know if you want me in the building, I think is basically kind of what I'll be saying.
Well, it's, yeah, some of those jobs, I mean, even some of the jobs that are sound mechanical and you would sort of think are sort of, you know, anybody could do them, they're really not. The equipment is incredibly complex. And the fact that we have to have so many redundancies in the building, because we can't ever let it go down. So you have to think as you're planning for all of the redundancies, you know, electricity, air handlers, water, steam, and you have to understand and plan for how you keep all of that going, and you plan for what are the things that can go wrong and how do we protect against it. So, you know, weather events of any kind, those all have to be planned for. And so it becomes incredibly complex. The machinery is complex to be able to meet that need. And so the people who understand and run the machinery have to have a truly complex knowledge of what's going on in that machine.
Here with MBAT Director of Partnership Development, Dr. Marty Vanier. Let's go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, we might talk a little bit of update on how that transition is going as far as DHS to USDA. More in Focus coming up. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.